You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF. I'm Scott Lamar. Last month, state Senate Republicans agreed to pay an Iowa consulting firm $270,000 over the next 6 months to review the 2020 election in Pennsylvania. Senate Republicans say the review is designed to determine the flaws that exist in the election system and fix them through legislation. Skeptics say the real impetus for the effort is to satisfy former President Donald Trump's unsubstantiated claims of election fraud. Three advocacy organizations and eight voters have gone to court to fight a subpoena issued by the Senate Intergovernmental Operations Committee that wants voters' names, addresses, dates of birth, driver's license numbers, and partial Social Security numbers. Joining us on the program, two of those involved in the suit, Robin Roberts, one of the voters challenging the subpoena, and Vic Walchick, is the American Civil Liberties Union Pennsylvania legal director. I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. Robin Roberts, let me start with you. Why are you taking this action?
Thank you for having me here. I'm taking this action because I'm a Black woman in a country who has long oppressed voting for Black people. I also feel that there is a huge government overreach here. We absolutely do not need all of this information. And there hasn't been a clear idea of why this information is needed. I also see the possibility of furthering the risk of voter fraud, financial fraud, with all the information that is being gathered. I am a victim of financial fraud. And what I recognize is that we had to do all of the work to clear our names, to get our money back. We provided the names of the people who were responsible for stealing our identities to the police, and nothing happened. So I'm very concerned that we will have situations where we have Black and brown people, lots of the elderly and people with disabilities who are disenfranchised from voting, and also have the risk of having a whole lot more people exposed to identity fraud and have financial complications because of all of this government overreach.
So when you say, now I'm going to, you know, kind of separate the two issues that you brought up about the yes. potential for, you know, your identity being stolen and that your information being compromised with, when you said that as a Black woman feeling oppressed, this subpoena is just trying to quash that data from being released. Are you saying that you feel that this suit overall is an attempt to oppress minority voters?
I feel that the information that we already have available is substantial for making sure that our elections are free and fair and free from fraud. What I am concerned about is that we have a history in this country of getting information about certain voters and using that information potentially in ways that will influence someone's vote. This country is very, it's very clear that people are not interested in hearing what those voters want to say. And I'm aware of the history of voting in this country, not just in the South, but here in the North too. And not just in the 1940s or the 1860s, but really in the present day. This is just a continuation of a history that really we really should look at, and we really should stop.
So Vic Walchick of the ACLU here in Pennsylvania, what legal grounds do you have for trying to fight this subpoena?
Yeah, first of all, thanks, Scott, for having both Robin and me on. Very, very much appreciate the attention to this really important issue. So a number of lawsuits that have been consolidated challenging this legislative subpoena or overreach, as Robin, I think, aptly styled it. There's the Attorney General on behalf of the Secretary of State, the Democratic committee members, another state senator, Senator Haywood and his wife. And then, you know, we're in it on behalf of the League of Women Voters, Common Cause, Make the Road, and eight individual voters. There's a number of different claims, including that the committee, which has never historically had any involvement in elections oversight, does not have the authority to be doing this. The argument that we focused on is really constitutional privacy. So it has been well known for decades, both from the United States Supreme Court and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court interpreting the Pennsylvania Constitution, that people have a right to privacy in their information. And if you think about how much damage information can do, I mean, the insurance industry notes that there was about $700 billion of fraud as a result of identity theft in 2020. So this is a major problem. We are claiming that the legislature or this committee does not have the constitutional right to demand the driver's license numbers and the last four digits of the Social Security numbers, because those are just so critical. To release all of that information together in a database of 9 million voters is tremendously risky. And more importantly, it's not necessary. The committee has not identified why they need this particular information.
All right. If you took those two out, if you took out the driver's license numbers and the Social Security, last four numbers of the Social Security number, would you have a problem with it then?
So most of that information is already available to the public. You know, candidates get that information. I mean, it's called the street list, right? So you can find out, you know, who's registered to vote, their address, and their voting history, obviously not how they voted, but, you know, in which elections they voted, whether they're registered to, you know, with a party or independent. I mean, all of that is publicly available. When the committee chair, Senator Dush, has not indicated exactly why they need these two critical pieces of information, and you can think about this information as the keys to committing identity theft or financial fraud or even voter fraud. I mean, you know, anybody who has your driver's license number or last four digits of your Social Security number can get into a whole host of your very personal information, whether it's banking, credit card statements, medical information, and into the voter registration database. So, you know, there's got to be an awfully good reason for why anybody outside of those folks who absolutely need to have the information should be able to get it. And the committee has not come close to explaining why they need that information.
So, Vic Walchuk, a couple things here, a couple questions right off the bat. The committee says that the idea behind this review is to restore trust in the election system and weed out any flaws in the system. So they're saying they need this information to be able to track voters and to find any flaws if there were any problems in the election. Are you saying you don't buy that?
Not at all. Scott, I'm sorry. Look, these are the people who went around saying, don't trust the system. There's problems with it. And then they come out and say, hey, we got to do this because voters don't trust it. They're the ones who have been spewing this nonsense that there's a problem with last year's elections. Look, let's deal in facts here, not conspiracy theories. I mean, the facts are that last year's election, especially the one in November, is the most reviewed election in modern history. I mean, that there was a recount done by the counties, many of which are operated by allies of people on the committee. There was a risk limiting audit that was done by most of these counties. There were more than 30 lawsuits filed in Pennsylvania. More than half of the lawsuits in the entire country around the election were filed in Pennsylvania. Most of them were filed by allies of the Republicans on this committee claiming fraud, all sorts of problems. They did not succeed in any of those. And then there have been legislative reviews, you know, by the committees in the Senate and the House that have oversight for elections, have been reviews done this year. They did not uncover any problems. And now you have this committee where the chair and other members went to Arizona to look at the Cyber Ninjas review that has been widely panned and said, we're going to bring that back to Pennsylvania. And this is a group that has no expertise in election oversight, has no history of being involved in elections. Yes, I am extremely skeptical of this.
Okay, but you said facts are facts. Let's get to the fact that no matter how it started, that it probably is fact. I mean, the polls have shown that taken since that there are especially a lot of Republican voters who have doubts about the 2020 election. No matter how it started, isn't it a fact that there are some people who don't trust the results of the election?
There are, but come on, let's call out the hypocrisy and saying, look, you know, there's people who don't have faith in the election because we've told them without any basis in fact that you shouldn't have faith in the election. Look, you know, the committee can, you know, even if this is not a legitimate exercise, I mean, elected bodies waste time, you know, all the time, unfortunately, right? And whether it's a political stunt or something else, they can do a review. The issue for the ACLU here, right, representing the voters, these organizations, and to some extent standing in for the 9 million voting citizens in Pennsylvania is, you know, they can look at the street list, they can look at other stuff. They do not need access to the driver's license numbers and social security numbers because those are the keys to committing so much mischief out there. And the committee has not explained, you know, they've said generally, oh, we got to fight fraud, we got to combat misinformation out there. They have not explained exactly why they need these two critical pieces of data. And until they do, under the Pennsylvania Constitution, the courts should not give them access to that information.
Let's go to Jim in Enola.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Jim.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Hi. First, if you don't mind, I have a question for you. Did you ask, I believe his name is Senator Dush, or anybody else involved with the request for information to appear on your show?
I have not yet, but that invitation is always open.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think they need to get on the air and they need to explain why they're requesting this information. So, I hope you will do that. My comment is, you know, this is simply outrageous. I used to be a Republican, and back when I was a Republican, the Republican Party stood for individual rights and protecting individuals' personal freedoms, and that includes personal information. And they're just trying to open the doors wide to get information. They're on a fishing expedition, and there is simply no evidence of systemic voter fraud. You know, they've just got to get on your forum and on other forums and defend why in the world they're doing this. So,
Well, Jim, let me just add that our news department has covered this extensively and has reported on it and talked with Senate Republicans. Haven't been on this program, but they have been on WITF. Jim, thank you very much for your call. Let's take a call from, not ready yet? Okay, we'll get that when we're ready. Vic Walchick, another question I had was about the company that, the private company that has been hired, contracted with this information. Now, this is a company in Iowa that has never done an election review. Is as part of trying to quash this subpoena, are there legal reasons or, I mean, just maybe not even non-legal reasons why a private company that has no experience and you just have to take their word that they can protect this information? Do you need more legally?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Mm-hmm. Scott, so the committee, so the test under the Pennsylvania constitutional right to privacy is that the people requesting this highly personal information have to show that they have a compelling interest in getting this information. So not just we need a good reason to see these, you know, last four digits of your Social Security and your driver's license, they have to have a compelling interest. And we don't have any interest. You know, they have not identified any clear interest. But even if they meet that, then they have to show that they are in a position to be able to safeguard the privacy of that information. And I got to say that that what the committee has filed about this private contractor has raised way more questions than answers. You know, you say they're from Iowa, but as you know, folks have dug into this group, the director apparently, you know, is also in Florida. They've only been in existence for a little bit more than a year. They've only identified two people that would have access to this information. And as you note, they've got no experience reviewing elections. And, you know, that's supposedly the issue, right? Are you going to hire, you know, a lawyer to do your brain surgery? No, I don't think so. So, you know, there's a lot of concerns about this company. And frankly, I think it compounds the concerns about this entire endeavor.
Robin Roberts, earlier you said that with the elections, the history of elections in America, that there has been a history of trying to keep minority voters, black and brown voters, from voting. Do you have confidence in the results of the 2020 election?
I absolutely have confidence that our last election was free and fair. Like Vic aptly put, we have reviewed the past election. We reviewed it over and over and over again. We have to understand that there are just going to be some people who are not going to accept the results of our election, regardless of how much information and how many times we review it. They still are going to believe that something wrong happened. I believe that our election was fair. I believe that all of the available and eligible votes were counted. And I look forward to having more elections like the one that we had in the past.
So you're saying
2020.
So you're saying that you have faith in the last election, but prior elections, maybe not so much.
I'm talking specifically about the historic voter disenfranchisement and voter suppression that has happened in this country. When we look at the history of voting in this country, there are periods and pockets where certain votes are emphasized and other votes are de-emphasized. And a lot of that has to do with the racial demographics or people who believe that maybe their governmental agencies should be doing more for the people who are involved. That's what I'm speaking specifically about.
Mm-hmm. We have several emails from listeners. Donovan asked, do we have any, and he has in quotes, official results of the election voting investigation in Arizona? Vic, I don't know, you know, if you have any knowledge as to you know, it was publicized that there actually were more votes cast for Joe Biden than Donald Trump as a result of that election review.
I know probably as much as you do from reading what's been public. But yeah, after all that hoopla in Arizona and that important to note, that was not a statewide review. It focused on Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, obviously the largest population center in Arizona. And they found that, in fact, Joe Biden should have had more votes than they had given him after they finished that review.
Pam in Harrisburg says Republicans forced us to buy new voting machines. Now, I don't know if it was just Republicans. I think that there were, you know, that was coming from Washington, and then Harrisburg had to, Pennsylvania and other states had to follow on that. But anyway, new voting machines were purchased. Now they are still concerned about voting machines. Also, our neighbors, Republicans and Democrats, are watching at polls. Are we saying our neighbors are all liars? Vic, your thoughts?
Yeah, and so I think you're right, Scott. It wasn't just one party that wanted machines. I think an awful lot of folks who were, you know, interested in ensuring electoral integrity wanted new machines. So you want paper backups, right? Which is what the changeover did, so that, you know, at the end of the day, you can go count pieces of paper and actually count the votes and not just rely on the electronics there.
So let's get back into some of the legal ramifications of this. This is a subpoena. What you're going after is a subpoena from this committee. That I'm curious is if the subpoena, it's just a subpoena for this data. If you are... You come out on top, the Commonwealth Court rules in your favor. Is there more in the future, more legal action toward this investigation?
Yeah, I think that's likely. So we are in what's known as the Commonwealth Court. Unlike in most kinds of litigation in Pennsylvania state courts, you have to ask the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to review it, and they decide whether they're going to take it or not take it, much like the U.S. Supreme Court does. When cases start in the Commonwealth Court, it's called original jurisdiction in Commonwealth Court, the losing party has a right of appeal to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. So, you know, I can't envision a scenario where we would lose in the Commonwealth Court and not ask the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to review that. And I suspect that the folks on the other side will take the same position. So I'm pretty sure that this is just a way station for a decision at some point early next year by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court on the whole issue.
Any timeline for a Commonwealth Court ruling?
Yeah, except you'll have to ask the judges because, you know, they don't share that information with us. You know, I don't expect them to dally here. You know, I would expect a decision at some point in January or early in the new year. I think everybody understands that, you know, this is a matter of tremendous public importance, a lot of attention being paid to it, and I think they're going to move expeditiously.
Do judges dally, Vic?
You know, oh boy, you're putting me on the hot seat. I hope there's no judges listening, but let me just be very clear that judges never dally.
Okay, not. I'm using your words, so I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't your official position on that. That judges dally. Judges dally.
I hope I cleared myself.
So, if this subpoena, and again, this is kind of a legal question, can parts of it be thrown out and others accept it, or if do the judges just say subpoena quashed, or they can go ahead with it?
No, it can be surgically excised, the offending portions, and in fact, the Secretary of State has already complied with some aspects of it. I mean, a lot of what they've asked for involves reports that were publicly issued. You know, they are potentially, I think, going to turn over emails. You know, that the two really critical pieces of information are, one, what we've been talking about here, which is the driver's license and last four social security digits. And the other piece that we haven't talked about is that they want, they're also asking for sort of reviews of the machines, some, you know, audits that have been done of the machines. And some of that is really critical because it would explain what, if any, potential vulnerabilities there are. And so, you know, if that gets into the wrong hands, then you really could mess up an election because it would give somebody a roadmap to actually hacking into those machines. And so, you know, that is really proprietary information that has to be guarded very, very carefully.
Robert in Camp Hill says, what is overlooked is that there are voters who are dead and haven't been removed from voting lists. This can cause some problems. This has been going on for a long time. Now, I just want to make sure that we're accurate here. There are counties that are purging these voting lists all the time. And just with the Associated Press came out last week with nationwide 426 cases that they were able to pinpoint as possible fraud. Here in Pennsylvania, I think we had two that were dead relatives were voted for. Vic, I saw you shaking your head that that's not a case here in Pennsylvania.
Well, look, I mean, just think about it practically, right? People are dying, are being born and dying all the time. New registrants are coming on. So that, you know, and you got about 9 million people on the rolls there. And so that's changing all the time. And you know, that I remember when we were fighting the voter ID back in 2012, the claim was, we had 40 voters who died before the election and yet they voted. You know, so this must be fraud. And then when we looked at it, those were all people who sent in absentee ballots properly. They filled them out. And then, you know, before Election Day, they died. So between they sent them in, that, you know, that's not voter fraud. The fact that you've got people who have died and haven't yet been cleared, because, you know, they don't clear those in real time. They do them periodically. I mean, there just isn't enough resources to do that in real time. Doesn't mean that those people are being allowed to vote. You know, that is all checked. That is looked at. And as you said, I mean, they found a handful of people and they happen to be Republicans, as far as I know, here in Pennsylvania. I think there's three or four of them, actually, where you had an individual whose partner or spouse died. They knew how that person wanted to vote and they voted for that individual. So, I mean, you can count those numbers on one hand. That is not going to change the outcome of any presidential election.
So, Robin Roberts, a final question. If by some chance the Commonwealth Court would rule against you for this subpoena, how will you protect your private information? I mean, is there any, do you see a way of doing that?
I actually don't see a way of doing it. And this, if the courts are saying that they can have this information, then it's sort of out of the voters' hands. It's out of our hands. We can spend lots of money to safeguard our identities so that we don't have financial fraud, we don't have healthcare fraud. But that's putting it back on the consumer. It's putting it back on the individual voter. This information shouldn't be obtained in the first place. We should have the right to privacy that we have in this country. We should be able to safeguard the information that we've been told to safeguard, like our social security numbers. We already have so much information that's out there. It's not difficult to piece this together and use it for whatever reason someone would deem necessary for their own means. I would just wish that our structures would protect us so that we wouldn't have to do all the work on our own.
Mm. I want to thank our guest for being with us today. Vic Walchick is the American Civil Liberties Union Pennsylvania Legal Director, and Robin Roberts, one of the voters challenging this subpoena. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Thank you so much.